From Hagee Ministry Studios, today on The Difference, witness with us how love can overcome even the worst of tragedies.
And what I saw was the most horrible thing that any parent can even imagine. She had accidentally gotten to the gun safe and had taken her own life the same way that her grandfather, my dad, had so many years prior.
Today on The Difference, we welcome Matt and Erica Matera, a parent's journey of love, loss, faith, and hope. The Materas share their story of healing from losing a daughter to suicide.
My name is Matt Matera. I'm from Narragansett, Rhode Island. I serve in the military almost 23 years now, and I'm married to my lovely wife, Erica, for almost as long. We have three beautiful children. One's up with the Lord right now, so.
Our first few years of marriage were very honeymoon-like, I think so. It wasn't until we got to Guam that things started to get a little shaky. It was Elizabeth's issues that we did have a lot of difficulty with going through that process.
So really, over the span of about 30 years, I've had 6 losses in my family from suicide and self-harm. In 1984, I lost my father to suicide. I walked in the room moments after he fired the shot. And so I'm on my little green tractor, got my headphones in. I see the school bus come up. Stops right in front of the house. I happen to be driving up that part of the yard at the same time as I was cutting the yard. I see these 2 little feet get off the bus. I see her, she sees me, I wave hi at her, she waves hi at me, and that was gonna be the last time I ever interacted with my daughter on this side of eternity. Walk into the kitchen from the entryway that led from the garage, and called out her name. Hey, Elizabeth, we gotta go. And no answer. I figured maybe she's upstairs, maybe she's playing video games, or maybe she's outside. I couldn't find her. Long story short, after looking for her for several minutes, I go back in the house and I look and I notice my master bedroom closet open. I walk up to her, I shook her, she didn't move. I rolled her over, and what I saw was the most horrible thing that any parent can even imagine. She had accidentally gotten to the gun safe and had taken her own life the same way that her grandfather, my dad, had so many years prior. So that whole first year, learning to, after Elizabeth passed away, was really spent learning to walk again spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. And we drew closer together, and forgiveness and embracing that journey of forgiveness, forgiving those that made such a terrible choice of suicide, and learning to forgive each other, and as Erica said, to show each other that grace.
That's a moment that no parent ever cares to in any way consider, much less face. And yet you've gone beyond the point of facing it to helping other people who are struggling with similar situations in their family on how they can heal. There's a long road between that moment and where you are today. How'd you get there?
The Lord strengthened him in faith and stewarding the this experience. So people have asked us time and again, how do you carry this burden? And I tell them this isn't a burden to carry. It's an opportunity to steward something. And when he says in his word, all things work together for good for those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. I said, okay, God, here's a plate of all things. I mean, you think about it. That's 6 people in my family. And when our daughter was taken from us by the adversary, I thought, you know, first my dad, then my little brother, all these other people, but now the enemy killed my kid. And the attitude I had was, now I'm coming after you, because it's personal.
Uh-huh. And let me say this, man to man, that's a pretty masculine way to compute that. How'd you compute it?
I pretty much felt the same way. Uh-huh. I understood who was lying to her that yeah. entire time, telling her the things that, you know, they just go over and over in their head, and how about, you know, they're not worth living, and how nobody wants them to, they would be better off gone. I understood who was lying to her.
Yeah, so. And I think it's an impactful way to say it, because suicide is a lie.
Absolutely. You know,
if God is the giver of life, then anything that takes that life in such a way is contrary to the truth of how we were created and why we were created. And so much of the things that you see involved in situations like this are based in lies. You know, whether it's I'm worthless, I didn't succeed, I failed, there's nothing that can be salvageable in my future, so I have to make a decision today that's going to make all of my deception, you know, which is considered in many ways pain, go away. And so, you know, when you have the ability to put it in the context of I know who was lying to her, you really identify the source of the situation, and then yeah. can start to attack the problem at the root Absolutely. Instead of hack at the branches of it.
Yes.
As you do that, how have you seen this open up your opportunity to share your experience and see other people rescued and healed in the midst of this circumstance?
Oh, great question, Matt. So there's been the opportunities to talk to parents and men, fathers that have either in their own personal life have wrestled with those same thoughts of hopelessness, self-harm, and self-destruction. Or they've had people in their family, children, sure. that have wrestled with these same things too, and be able to transfer to them that message that, hey, here's the things to look for. And oh, by the way, suicide is a part of a greater grand strategy of the adversary. Remember, it comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And
suicide does all three.
It does yeah. all three. The cascade effect that it has. I mean, you look at it again, 6 years old, yeah. lost my father.
And it stole your childhood.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know,
absolutely.
It killed your father. It stole your childhood.
Right.
And it destroyed the potential and promise of your household.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, because you didn't get the chance to introduce kids to granddad. You didn't get the opportunity to share memories and moments. You grew up with this void.
Right.
So, I mean, it in every circumstance and situation, it does all three of those things.
It does.
Robs, it kills, it destroys.
Right. And so that's a lot of the things that folks don't think about is obviously the immediate tragedy of the loss of somebody. They take their own life, and it goes against that innate sense of self-preservation that we have that has really been imbued into nature. Mm-hmm. But human beings, we're the only ones out of all of God's creatures on this planet that will self-destruct when crossing that threshold. And it's, again, part of the adversary's grand strategy to lie on this battle space of the human mind. People have asked time and again, you know, is it a physical issue? Is it a mental health issue? Is it a spiritual issue? Which is, that's really, people don't think about that. Human beings, we're three-part, mind, body, and spirit. I'm not a mental health professional. I'm not a psychiatrist or a doctor, but I'm a guy that's actually walked through this.
Yeah.
And I've seen that there's been this third part of this suicide problem set that goes that is grossly ignored, and that is the spiritual aspect. And it's yeah. an inward problem that manifests itself outwardly through such a traumatic and devastating choice.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned body, mind, and spirit, which is encompassed in the triune being of man,
right.
created in the image of a triune God.
Right.
The distinction in the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the triune being of man, is we're weighted. Mm-hmm. He's not.
Right.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, they're all equal.
Right.
For us, it's a weighted Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says, "Beloved, I wish that you would be in good health and prosper in all things, even as your soul prospers."
Right.
What did Jesus Christ say? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, which is a physical gaining,
right.
and loses his own soul?
Right.
So we have a spiritual weight that makes the spiritual side of a man much more important than his physical side, much more important than his mental side. So when you say, is it a physical problem? Is it a mental problem? Is it a spiritual problem? It's all three,
right.
but
right.
the weight of it falls to what you were saying. I know who was lying to her. Absolutely. It was a spiritual lie.
Yes.
It was a spiritual deception that impacted her mental status, that eventually worked itself out in her physical outcome.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And so it doesn't matter what end of that spectrum you start on, you have to get back to that root of it's a spiritual issue.
That's
because
right.
Every human being is a spiritually created being,
right.
Even if they don't recognize it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, when we come back, we're going to have more of this conversation and give you the opportunity to identify areas that you need to be engaging in conversations with members in your family, friends and loved ones. Even though they're walking through trying times, they'll have the opportunity to discuss how God can do great things. You're watching The Difference.
When we come back.
I had a moment where I was just broke down into tears, and I remember her coming into the room and telling me, "Mama, why are you crying?" And I said, "Because I miss Elizabeth so much." And she says to me, "Well, why? She's in heaven."
Yeah.
And it made me cry even more.
2,000 years ago, God sent the world an unexpected gift.
As we celebrate Christmas with family and friends, take a moment to share the greatest story ever told. That God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world that we might live and have everlasting life through Him.
This month, as a special gift for your donation of any amount, we'll send you a card stack of Diana Hagee's favorite recipes, along with a wooden display stand. For your gift of $200 or more, we'll include Diana's commemorative edition of the Not By Bread Alone cookbook, an accompanying cheese board and dish towel. This set makes a wonderful gift for a loved one and enables us to share the gospel around the world.
From everyone here at Hagee Ministries, Merry Christmas. There is no greater present than the gift of God's love and salvation.
Send your best gift today. Call the number on the screen or visit jhm.org/holiday.
The suicide in the last 2 years has increased, I would say, 25% to 30%. And the reason that is true is the spiritual component to it. For teenagers, is a little bit more because they of the interaction in social media. And then there's a spiritual component, and then there's a fad, but they just don't understand the spiritual component of what's happening to them. Pay attention, like never before, to the emotional and spiritual state and mental state of their sons and daughters, and don't just write off a comment like, "It'd be better if I weren't here," or "they would kill themselves," or thoughts or texts or posts about suicide. Don't just dismiss that. I often hear that with parents. "Oh, they're just wanting attention." And then they end up going to a funeral.
Welcome back to The Difference. We just heard from Mark Jones, who counseled you both during this difficult time.
And, you know, he mentions some red flags and things that parents need to pay attention to. Before I ask you about that, in our last segment, you were talking how, you know, God got you from where you lost your daughter to where you are today.
Right.
And you identified the spiritual component of the fact that, you know, the enemy was lying to her.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you in your faith on the day you lost your daughter compared to where you are now? Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. You know, and I've always in my life, struggles, hardships, heartbreaking seasons, that's where my faith was the most valuable. You know, when things are good, I'm like, "Hey, I must have it all figured out because nothing's going wrong in my life right now." And then all of a sudden trouble comes, and that's when I fall on my knees and say, "God, help me.
Right.
You know, and you kind of realize in those struggling seasons, if I don't ask for that help every day, if I don't ask for that help on the good days, then I'm not building the strength and the faith that I need for the hard times. You know, I mean, as a military guy, how many days do you train before you actually have to use your training in conflict?
Right.
You know, it's not like you're going, "Hey, I think we might get in a fight someday, so let's think about preparation." You're constantly in a preparing. You're either training or you're executing. You know?
Correct. So it's funny you bring that up. So train like you fight, and that's one of what we say in the military. Our faith at that point, when we had lost Elizabeth, was at an interesting time in our marriage and our Christian walk. We had folks that came and surrounded us, and I think that's really important to have a strong cadre of brothers and sisters in Christ that can be there with you, that can hold you up.
Share grief,
and they can carry you when you've got fist-size holes in your shield, and they can be you know, when the word says, bear one another's burdens. Laugh with those that laugh and grieve with those that grieve. And so we had folks with us to help carry us. For us, that loss brought us closer together in our marriage, brought us closer together in our faith. Certainly there's things that we've still had to walk through, and you know, that's a semen gap caused by a wound like that. The enemy seeks to get in there and infect it with anger, resentment, hostility. Little things that would normally just be a minor irritation can all of a sudden exasperate. You know, you leave a sock on the floor. Why'd you leave that there? And you start finding yourself getting into arguments that don't matter. Yeah. But it is important to have that faith routine, like hitting the gym. You can't go once a year and expect that one day to carry for the rest of the year. You got to do it every single day of being engaged.
That explains so much of my physical problems. No. But and I make, you know, a light statement about that, but it's such a truth that you have to be diligent. You know, you have to be diligent in that faith engagement so that you have, you know, the resources available to you in a spiritual context to not only defend, but to keep the enemy out.
That's right.
You know, you've identified him. Mm-hmm. You are doing war against him now, but he hadn't given up on fighting you either.
No. Right?
You know, I mean, that's the thing that really gets to be a challenge in spiritual conflict that people don't really recognize. And Mark did a beautiful job of pointing that out. He says, you know, the enemy has no empathy. He's got nothing to lose. He's got all the time in the world, and he already knows what his outcome is.
Right.
So it's not like he's negotiating for a better position. He's just trying to figure out, how many people can I take with me?
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of that with your family, I know you have two kids.
Yes.
One that's in seventh grade and another little boy that's three.
Yes.
How did all of this affect them, and how did you have to just pull the stronghold around them in like your faith?
Well, at the time we didn't have Marcus. Okay. It was just Isabella. And literally everything else fell to the wayside, and we just huddled up together and surrounded each other with just constant love and tenderness and leaning on one another whenever we were having a hard time. Yeah. So, and Isabella is a little rock star. I had a moment where I was just broke down into tears, and I remember her coming into the room and telling me, "Mama, why are you crying?" And I said, "Because I miss Elizabeth so much." And she says to me, "Well, why? She's in heaven."
Yeah.
And it made me cry even more.
Well, you know, the Bible speaks to that end. It's childlike faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You know, yes. I mean, the thing about a child that's precious and the thing about a child that is also very vulnerable is that they are so quick to believe. If we would be just as quick to believe what Jesus said as they are, then we wouldn't have so many struggles, because they hear it and they go, done.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
right. Absolutely.
And you know, it's a wonderful thing to have that kind of perspective in a moment like that, because I've always said that it doesn't really matter how, but the only way that you can overcome death is overwhelm it with life.
Right.
That's right.
You know, as a pastor, I get to do funerals on a regular basis for all kinds of reasons. And it really doesn't matter. The thing that you do at a funeral is you have one person that you're memorializing, and then you have a whole group of people, hundreds of people, 50 people, 150 people, just depending on how deep the relationships go. You know, that are there to overwhelm death with life. They bring their newborn baby. They bring their child that just got engaged. They bring their son that went off to college. They bring that nephew that's back from the military. Mm-hmm. And in each and every one of those moments, you get to see that life goes on.
Right.
You know, and so faith is something that gives you the strength to believe, and then you recognize that life goes on.
Right.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about how life can go on and grow, and God can do great things even in deep sorrow. You're watching The Difference.
Coming up next.
A few years preceding her passing, she goes from painting her room to dark, from a light color to a dark, morbid color. We have posters all of a sudden going on the wall that from bands that and music genres that glorify a dark, morbid theme of self-destruction and hopelessness.
Here at Hagee Ministries, we're excited to announce our digital web platforms that provide you with live streaming services, special messages, and series, all through our video on-demand applications. Our Hagee Ministries channel app is now available on Apple TV, Amazon, and Roku streaming platforms. You can also watch our services live on your favorite social media channels, including YouTube, Facebook, or online at jhm.org/watch.
Welcome back to The Difference. Matt and Erica, you've been so kind to share the story and the circumstances that affected your family. In our final segment, I want to talk a little bit about how prevalent this is in the world today. There's a lot of families that, whether they want to admit it or not, they're having these kinds of struggles in their home. Mm-hmm. And I know that on your heart is sharing with them, don't ignore those warning signs. Mm-hmm. Stay, you know, vigilant and protect your children. Don't turn the other way. Get right in the middle of it and fix it before it becomes final.
Right.
You know, so what would you say to those people and what would be some of the things that they should pay attention to if they're seeing these kinds of struggles in their home?
Sure. There's a litany of signs and precursors to keep an eye on. You know, when we lost Elizabeth, we literally saw her disappear before our eyes. And I mean that over this period of a few years preceding her passing. Slowly, the climate of her music started to change. Her okay. outward appearance started to change. She goes from painting her room to dark, from a light color to a dark, morbid color. We have posters all of a sudden going on the wall that are, you know, from bands that and music genres that glorify a dark, morbid theme of self-destruction and hopelessness. And then the social media effect, which is really for kids. I mean, you think about this, social media, it's made by adults for adults. And instead, it's become a force multiplier for these enduring themes and messages of hopelessness, depression, poor self-image, narcissism that have captivated these kids. And I would just tell parents to really keep an eye on the climate of your kids. What are they listening to? Is their appearance starting to change? Are they communicating certain types of language that portrays a sense of hopelessness or depression or poor self-image? And then really look at that social media. Again, it's made by adults for adults.
Yeah.
And the payload, the data payload on these things is really mostly children.
And so much of it has connected itself, from my perspective, into the child's affirmation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, so-and-so puts out a picture of themselves and they get 500 likes. I put out a picture of myself, I only get 50.
Yeah.
There must be 450 people more in this world that love them than love me.
Right.
And while from an adult perspective, you would say, well, that's pretty nonsense and immature. From their perspective,
that's
reality.
Huge.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's everything. And you know, you have to really understand how much that impacts their decisions and what they need to hear from you to overcome that.
Right.
Because in their context, that's like 450 insults.
Right.
You know, I mean, when I was a kid and I came home and said somebody was mean to me, my parents would talk me up, pat me on the head, and away I'd go. You know, but I didn't have that constant contact to the source of the problem, to where, you know, it really requires a constant contact from a parent.
That's right.
You know, to be able to mitigate the impact that's having in their life.
That's right.
And you know, situations where this has happened, I know for many people, they have no desire to even discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
They want it to be a very private issue.
Private.
They want to keep it, you know, quiet. You've taken a very different approach, and you want to have a conversation. You want to let people know that this is a problem. You want to let them know that there's hope. What is it that you do to help people open up about those situations? Because I know when they hear your story, they're going to say, how do I get in touch with those folks? What do I do to carry on this conversation? Because you've hit on something that's in homes that homes don't want to admit exists.
Right. So this is needs to be dinner table conversations, talking with and having your finger on the pulse of your kids. So we've decided to go ahead and we've started our webpage, we've started a blog, we've gone ahead and talked about our story and parsed in there, discussing not just the six tragic losses we've had in our family, but also our journey through the grieving process, what that looks like. The leveraging certain components from military experience, the leadership required, because you have to assume a leadership role with this thing. If you want to get ahead of the grieving process, if you want to get ahead of the issues that are taking place in your home, well, what's that require? It requires the adults in the room, the parents in the room, to say, okay, I'm going to demonstrate this leadership and have some uncomfortably honest questions and conversations with our kids, and then also be willing to reconcile with some of the inconvenient truths that may be difficult to hear.
Yeah, and then take action on it.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that the identifier is one thing, but then action's the other part of it.
Absolutely.
That's really where the transition occurs, because as the Bible says, faith without works, it's dead.
That's right.
You know. I want to pray for those of you who are watching, because I know that today we've discussed a topic that many of you might be dealing with. And if you are dealing with it, there is hope. His name is Jesus. There is help. That help can be found in a local church. That help can be found in a ministry like ours. That help can be found in searching out a webpage like Matt was just discussing. But wherever you are today, I want you to know that you're not alone and that there is a God who truly loves you. Loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And in doing so, He gave His life so that you could have everlasting life.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, today I pray that those who are watching would feel the joy of the Lord, because the Bible says that that joy is our strength. I pray that every place that there's despair and there's fear and there's hopelessness in their situation, that You would become the God of all hope, that You would become the God who makes a way. Even when they cannot see, there is a way. I pray for everybody who's listening that's dealt with the pain and the burden of suicide and lost loved ones to such a tragic situation. I pray that You would wrap Your loving arms around them, that You would help them to recognize that You have not forgotten them, that You are the God who dries every tear that falls, and that You are the one who can take all things and work them together for good, as even for those in every situation for those that love You. I pray these things in Jesus' name today. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being with us here on The Difference. I pray that you have the opportunity to recognize God's goodness in the land of the living and that you realize what it means to live the life more abundant.
The life of a child is precious in God's eyes, and the gift of life is something you can become a part of today. We at Hagee Ministries are offering you the opportunity to change the life of a child and mother by becoming a legacy partner. As a legacy partner, your monthly gift supports the Sanctuary of Hope, that is a one-of-a-kind safe haven that provides a home to single expectant mothers and offers resources that will enable them to find success in their communities. The Sanctuary of Hope exists to provide a loving, safe environment where both baby and mother can receive the education, care, and hope they so desperately need. When you partner with us, our legacy becomes your legacy, and together we are impacting lives and transforming nations for Jesus Christ. There has never been a better time to share the love of Christ with a mother and a child than right now. Become a legacy partner today. Call the number on the screen or go to jhm.org/partner.
Today on The Difference, you heard a story of hope that was brought out of hopelessness. You heard a story of healing that was brought out of great pain. The hope that we have in the healer, His name is Jesus Christ, and He can make a difference in your life. As always, I thank you for joining us for today's program, and I want you to remember, Jesus Christ makes the difference.